Amen, amen, amen. This month of July has been our series on unity. We started last week. To start this month on our series of unity, and we are continuing on this day with the series on unity. Today, we will have to us Elder Bethea bringing us a little higher in this month on unity. All those who might not be familiar with Elder Bethea, she is the member of Sardis Temple and also the facilitator of Abundant Hope. She is under the covering of Sardis Temple and she is united with Sardis Temple. So those of you who might not know, extend your hand and get ready to receive your big sister in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, God bless.
God bless.
The preacher.
The preacher.
God bless,
God bless
the preacher, and
God bless
my soul.
My soul.
Congregation, Elder Bethea, the pulpit is yours.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now I need y'all to keep that same energy because as we were praising, I heard the Lord say, when you go to war, there are three aspects of war. There is the war cry that notifies your enemy you're on the way, which is what we just lifted up. The second aspect is the instruction, which will be the word of God. And at the end, we shall give praise because we got victory over the enemy. So I need y'all to know, we came to be at war. I didn't come to be cute. I didn't come to be pretty. I came to serve the devil. Notice that we are at war. We at war today, y'all. Hallelujah. We at war this morning. And I came ready to fight on behalf of my family. I kept saying, God, I don't want to go this route. And he said, but I need you to understand that I need my children to be united and I need the devil to be terrified. So we went up in war. We notified him we're coming. And now God is going to give us the instruction on how we're going to defeat him because we got the victory. Hallelujah. So y'all keep that energy because at the end of the instruction, God says, I need y'all to shout like the children of Jericho and tear every wall down that the enemy is trying to build. Because if you ain't recognized, God is doing a great thing in this place and the enemy don't like it. But God came to tell us and him today, he is defeated and God shall be glorified. Now, let me say, instructions don't always feel good, but I promise you it's going to work out for our good. Some of us, including myself on today, we're going to leave here saying, ouch, and oh my God, but at the end, woo, God's going to be glorified and we shall be edified. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Our scripture reference this morning is coming from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm reading from the New International Version. The word of God reads, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and to be thankful. Hallelujah. And just for a few moments, I want to talk from this thought, secure together through service. Secure together through service. Father, decrease Tamara, increase your spirit, speak all of your words and none of mine. God, continue to permeate this place. God, we recognize and acknowledge that you are already here. So God, we say continue to have your way. Make us conducive, oh God. Make us be able to receive and to hear your word. We come against the enemy right now who may try to distract, who may try to destroy, who may try to do anything in this service. We decree and declare that the word of God shall go forth with power and persuasion, that we all shall be made better for the coming. God, we pray that this act of worship is acceptable in your sight. And God, we pray that this worship, that this word will enact change in our lives. And God, I pray you let that change begin in me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now I know you may be thinking, what in the world does securing together through service have to do with unity? But I promise by the end of this service, you'll understand exactly where the Lord led us today. And I'm a little old school. I was taught a little differently. So if I could sum up my sermon in one entire sentence, it would be this. For unity to be displayed properly in the kingdom agenda of God's church, we must first display properly the treatment towards kingdom people. For unity to be displayed properly in the kingdom agenda of God's church, we must first display it properly in the treatment toward kingdom people. It's 5 a.m. Your alarm goes off. You sigh. It's morning already. You lie in bed thinking. You ask yourself the same question every morning. What in the world am I going to put on today? You brush away the mental cobwebs and you think through the day. You think about all the things that you got to do, where you got to go, who you got to call. You know, the routine things of life. You listen to the clock radio for the weather report. Then you decide on your outfit. Brothers, you take off your do-rag. You put on your wife beater. On top of that, you put on your t-shirt, your shoes, your belt, your pants. Let me not skip the pants, right? You put on your pants, your shoes, your belt. Ladies, we put in our security. Amen. Some of us wear lashes. We gel our edges down. We put on our mascara, you know, all the things that we put on to feel cute about ourselves. We get dressed and we go about our day. And while what we wear and how we feel is important, and we all want to dress appropriately and look our best, besides that, we have to be concerned and care about what we put on spiritually. Because Jesus cares about what you wear too, but his concern is about your spiritual apparel. Colossians 3 lists some of the virtues with which we should clothe ourselves every morning: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When we are wearing these things, we will deal properly with the situations that arise, our friendships will be strengthened, and we will have the satisfaction that comes from knowing that we are pleasing the Lord. Mm-hmm. Too often when we come to this text, or too often when we think about operating in unity, we consider the things we are to come together and do to accomplish the goal of the church, both universally and locally. Usually we think about our universal agenda, which is to be disciples and to make disciples of those we come in contact to as part of the Great Commission. Or our local agenda, which is in being a part of this body that God has joined us to accomplish the agenda God has poured out into the heart of the shepherd of this body according to the will of God through the presence of Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. However, as I was praying and studying, I asked God, well, what do you really want us to know about unity? And he spoke this very clearly in my spirit. He said, unity or togetherness in action is not about the duties or responsibilities we perform without argument. No, it's not about that. It is the display of godly treatment of one another because of our placement in God and our gratitude towards Him. In other words, we cannot do anything in unity if we are not first treating one another and in the unification principles God has given us. Watch. A lot of times when we come to this scripture, we come to highlight the characteristics we display as new men or new women in Christ. But God said to me, what good is it to simply have it and not operate in it? Operating in the character of the new man has a source, and that source is God. However, operating as the new man also has benefactors, which are other believers. You see, we are not supposed to just simply take on these new characteristics. We are supposed to walk in these new characteristics that join us together with like-minded believers. Being a new man or woman in Christ is not about how you are seen, but how you operate in action towards others. Yeah, yeah. This text is not simply given to us to feel good about our transformation, but it is actually a checklist of how we manifest the will of God for the glory of God in the lives of other people. Yeah, yeah. And you and I don't get to pick and choose what attributes we display or those who get to benefit from the possession of our characteristics based on what we like, based on who we like, or based on what they do. If we are going to be Christ-like, it must extend to all. You don't get to say, I'm not showing so-and-so mercy because they get on my nerve. Mm-mm. You don't get to say, I'm not going to forgive so-and-so because they keep doing it. You don't get to say, I'm not going to be faithful in my service because ain't nobody else doing it. You don't get to tell God what you're going to do based on what everybody else does. Your gratitude towards God should manifest in what you produce in your life, not just for yourself, but for other believers. That's what unity is. Unity is working together, not only in my actions, but in our attitudes. And in this first portion of the text, and I'm right to my first point, we have to understand if we're going to operate in the kingdom agenda and be mindful of how we treat kingdom people, Christ's characteristics must be displayed. It's right here in the first portions of our text. We got to understand, as God's chosen, called out people, we must reflect holiness and understand you and I have been selected and called out not only for such a time as this, but to be a part of the universal church and the local church. Again, the universal church is all of those that have called on Jesus Christ. If I didn't tell you this was going to be a teachable moment, you're getting ready to find out right now. The universal church, it's all of those that call on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Right. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you became a part of the universal church. But through the wisdom of Holy Spirit, He has joined you together to this local church, Sardis Temple Baptist Church, to help birth in you the purpose He has for not only your life, but for the life of this church. And in this church, you gotta represent the characteristics of the God that you serve. We can further understand our responsibility and capacity to display the characteristics of God when we understand the incommunicable and the communicable attributes of God. Some of y'all looking at me like, what in the world did she just say? I'm gonna make it clear. Incommunicable attributes are those attributes that belong to God alone. Those attributes are His infinity, the fact that He's eternal, the fact that He is sovereign, the fact that He is omnipresent, meaning He's everywhere, the fact that He is omnipotent, that He is all-powerful, the fact that He's omniscient, all-knowing, the fact that He is immutable, unchangeable. Those are the characteristics that belong to God and God alone. But when you come into a relationship with God because of the cross of Christ, you then receive the communicable or the shared characteristics of God that He gives us through His Holy Spirit. Now, you may be saying, well, what are those? I'm glad you asked. They are attributes of holiness, wisdom, truthfulness, love, mercy, kindness, righteousness, and grace. And y'all looking at me strange, like, why is this important about unity? But you gotta understand, too often we make excuses as to why we can't display the characteristics of God. We will say, I wasn't brought up in a home that operated like that. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the pain that I'm carrying. You don't know how they treat me. And while all of those things may be true, let me help us out on this morning. None of those variables give you any right to withhold walking in the character that God has called you to walk in. None of it. He says, we are holy and beloved. Holy means we have been set apart from profane, common, and unholy ways of the world. Because we are in God, we cannot operate in God's house the way we operate in the world. You can't talk to your brothers and sisters in God's house, in God's family, the way you used to in the world. That means even when somebody get on your nerve, you gotta humble yourself in the presence of God and cast that emotion and feeling over to God and let Holy Spirit be your mouthpiece. And if you are not mature enough to let Holy Spirit be your mouthpiece in that moment, you ought to just shut up. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. But we are holy. Somebody say holy. We're also beloved. In this text, beloved is not merely the state in which we are in God. Beloved is a verb that we are supposed to walk in. Right. Beloved means because you are loved unconditionally, you are to love unconditionally. Because God loved you so much so that he sent his only begotten son to die on an old rugged cross for you, and he loves you unconditionally. You gotta love somebody else unconditionally. You can't say, I don't like how you act, so I'm gonna turn my back on you. Woe unto you if we were to operate with like that, because God does not turn his back on us when we operate in stink, nasty, hazardous ways in his presence. He draws us closer. He forgives us, and he continues to love on us. I promise I'm going to make sense about unity in a hot second. Listen, the quality of beloved is not an emotion, but is an act to initiate by choice that denies self for the benefit of the object love. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? That means I deny myself to love you unconditionally, even if you haven't asked for it. It's to initiate an act. So I initiate an act of being loving towards you, whether you receive it, whether you ask for it, or whether you return it. Why? Because God did it for me. He says, we got to be clothed. To be clothed means to put on as in allowing something to be draped. As believers operating in the newness of Christ, watch, we are to be draped, my God, with compassion. Again, compassion, not to just those that we feel deserve it, but compassion to all. Compassion is a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. What that means is you don't just pity them, but you have compassion and you seek Holy Spirit for a way to help them alleviate the thing that is stressing them and causing them distress. It means you don't talk about the pain you see them carrying. You pray about the pain you see them carrying. It means you don't separate yourself because you feel like, thank you, Holy Spirit, I'm going to look this way because I don't want nobody to say I was talking about them. But what it means is you don't turn your back on your brother or sister because you feel like they need to deal with the consequences of their actions. It means that you still love them and you bear them up. Why? Because you remember God didn't force me to deal with the consequences of my actions, because if that was true, Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. I would not be redeemed. I would not be saved, and I would not be forgiven. So who are you to not show compassion? And he says you got to show kindness. Kindness is a friendly and helpful spirit which seeks the needs of others through kind deeds. You got to have a spirit to seek out how you can be helpful. Not how somebody can bless you, but how you can bless somebody else. Gentleness is the word priotes. Describing, don't make me say it again, sis, it's Greek. I'll give it to you later. Describing one who has the quality of gentle friendliness and a restrained patience. Restrained patience. Meaning that I don't fly off the handle at every opportunity because I need you to understand just how hurt you made me. It means that I don't just fly off the handle because you coming at me. I think the phrase now is rah-rah. You being rah-rah with me. That's right. And I'm being rah-rah with you. Restrained patience means that I'm going to stand there. And even when you acting like you have lost your mind, I'm not going to return it in kind. I'm going to stand there and pray for Holy Spirit to not only restrain you, but to restrain me. Now, y'all can look at me crazy, but anybody that know Tamara or Tammy, because Tammy had to get delivered. Because Tammy, you know, what we going through in our country with, Lord help me, with these Karens that's doing all this other stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right, Pastor? Tammy, back in the day, would have said, you got the right one today. And Tammy would have been putting a GoFundMe account together to get bailed out. I'm just saying, but when I learned how to be mature in God, I learned that even when they are pushing every button and my flesh is like, girl, you better not let that go down like that. The Holy Spirit restrains me in patience and say, remember who you serve. Remember who you represent. I know in your flesh you don't want to let them get that, but let me use you, because what you don't understand, and it's in this moment, I'm going to use you to get to them, to bring them to me. But when you don't operate in restrained patience, you step out of the will of God. And I promise you, I'm talking about unity in the church. In a moment, you're going to get it. Patience in this text is the word makrothymia. Yeah, you go, Pastor. Which describes a state of emotional calm or quietness in the face of provocation, misfortune, or unfavorable circumstance. It is the capacity to be wronged, but not retaliate. When I was studying, I said, God, but Pastor said, preach about unity in the church. I ain't said, I know that. And the reason I have you doing all of this is because this stuff ain't just happening outside the house of God. Right. Some of this very same stuff that we got to ask Holy Spirit to help us with, we got to ask him for help in the house. Right. Yeah. I said, God, I don't want to, but God said, in my house. Don't think it's strange that Corona came and closed everything. It closed everything, or almost everything, because the people of God are out of order. God did not purpose this virus, but I bet you he's using this virus for his purpose. He's saying, I'm allowing y'all to sit still so you can hear my voice and hear my call and live the way I told you to live. How in the world do you think you're going to be able to go in the street and evangelize other people to come to me and y'all can't get it right at home? That's the equivalent of inviting somebody to your house and you know your house is a mess. Your mama ain't letting them in. I'm not letting you in my house and it's dirty and y'all ain't clean and there's food everywhere and y'all talking to each other crazy. Well, guess what? God ain't going to let nobody in his house when we acting crazy and doing all kind of things. We wondering, why ain't nobody coming? They ain't coming not because they don't want to come, but because we ain't acting right. Oh, yeah. Unity. We got to display Jesus' characteristics in the house. I don't get to talk to you crazy because you make me mad. I don't get to treat you wrong because I don't like how you act. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the internal struggles. You don't know the pain. You don't know the history. You don't know the situation. All you see is the external. And God has called us as his people to pray for the internal so that there's a right external manifestation. But I can't get to my healing because you're all in my face. Forgiveness is not optional. It's not optional. Oh, Lord, help me today. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgiveness ain't optional. Bearing in this text is the word anokonai, which means, check this out when I looked at this. It means, in this text, making allowance for each other's faults and to be patient with each other as Christ bore our sins and faults on the cross. Therefore, we are called to bear with one another and make room for each other to be faulty and to help one another be anchored. Come on now. We got to learn how to allow each other to have faults and to love each other through our faults. God said, you can't be unified in work if you're not unified at heart. How can I use you in genuineness and you don't live in genuineness? How can I operate through you and you got all this baggage clouding up your heart and your mind? He says, we are to bear our each other's sins. Romans 15 and 1 says, we then who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. It don't say point out the infirmities of the weak. He didn't say push down each other's burden. He said bear up. Bear up means, come here, Pastor. Means when I see, that my brother has been undertaken with a fault, I come up under him and I securely fasten myself with him and lift him up. I don't see what he's going through and push him down. I don't see what he's going through and talk about him. I hold him up, and not only do I bear him, I walk with him. And I make sure he don't fall. And I make sure he keeps standing straight. And I make sure he keeps living right for the Lord. Bear each other up. The problem with the church is we too busy stepping on one another. And I gotta say it, Pastor. Am I able to say what the Holy Spirit said before y'all shout too hard? I'm not talking about outside of Sardis. I'm talking about inside of Sardis. I'm talking about inside of Bundy. I'm talking about the fact that we are one because Holy Spirit said we were one. Holy Spirit joined us to this place. You might have thought you chose to come here. Boo-boo, that wasn't choice. That was leading by the Holy Spirit. And since he led you here, you got to trust him on how to operate while you here. You don't get to tell God, well, when we was at Calvary, we did it this way. Well, let them do it like that at Calvary. God said you at Sardis now. You ain't at Green Pastures. You ain't at congregation. God bless those congregations. Hallelujah. But you ain't there. You here. So who are we to tell God what work and don't work? Who are we to step on and push down our brother? It says, those who are strong ought to bear. The problem is, oh my Lord, the problem is, Some of us ain't got no strength because we don't stay in the word. Some of us ain't got no strength because we got superficial relationship with the Lord. We put on our suits and we pray when we get to his house, but we don't talk to him all week while we at our house. So when your brother comes or your sister comes and they need help, you can't give help because you ain't getting none for yourself. Bear up. And then forgive. I'm almost through. Forgive literally means to give freely and unconditionally, or to bestow as a gift of grace. We have to give forgiveness because forgiveness was an unconditional gift of grace from God to us. Forgiveness was not given to us to hold on to, but forgiveness, hallelujah, thank you, Holy Spirit, was given to us for us to receive our freedom and then to release others into freedom that we've been holding hostage. Forgiveness breaks the awful chain of bitterness. Let us not forget. This is why I say it's not optional. In Matthew 6 and 12, you know, the Lord's Prayer. And we say it so pious sometimes and so holy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. God, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive them our debtors. You know, because my flesh don't really want to forgive you because you hurt me. But then he reminded us in the beginning, you hurt God too, but he forgave you anyway. And you ain't hurt the heart of God one time. You hurt it over and over and over. And if you keep breathing, you're going to do it over and over. And what are you going to do? Forgive you and forgive you and forgive you. So who am I to say, Pastor, I don't want to forgive you because you hurt me. I don't have the right to hold you hostage because the blood of Christ has made us one. And we got the same forgiveness. And forgiveness is supposed to be a reciprocal exchange. I get it from God. I give it to you. I don't care how many times you lie on me. I did some things that Daddy ain't happy about. But when I go before his presence and I say, Father, forgive me, he gives it to me. And when he gives it to me, I got to give it to you. Forgiveness is part of being unified. I can't work with you if I hate you. It don't work like that. I can't say, for your glory, I will do anything. And when you ask me for help, I get on the phone and talk about you like a dog. You know she had the audacity to ask me for help afterward. You know why? Because the triune council does not do that to us. Even when the enemy comes to God to tell God, you saw what Tamara did, right? Christ says, but I died for that. And I shed my blood for that. And I have forgiven her for that. So in our gratitude of the cross, we got to take on that same mindset. It's all right, God, because Jesus, you died for that too. Hallelujah. You shed your blood for that too. And because the blood has made us one, I'm going to forgive my brother and sister. And we don't worry about the consequences. You know how we do. I'm going to forgive him, but God, get him back. That ain't operating in unity. Amen. So we got to understand that Christ's characteristics must be displayed. We got to understand that forgiveness is not optional. And I'm getting ready to take my seat when I tell us that love is the ultimate unifier and peace is the harmonizer. It's right here in the text. Verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called, watch, to be peace, to be at peace, and be thankful. That's what the NIV version says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and to be thankful. Love is not only what binds these attributes together. Previously, and I know when I was taught about this scripture, we were taught that love was the binding characteristic that held together our ability to be gentle and kind and patient. And while that is true, when you do a further review of the text, he's not just talking about the characteristics, but he's talking about the people. Love is what binds us together. The characteristics are that which we are supposed to display in one another with the unification of God's agenda in mind. But love is the one that unifies us all. Hallelujah. It knits us together. And you might say, well, how important is that? Well, if you go over to Mark 12, 30 through 31, you will see that we have been commanded to operate in a multifaceted aspect of love. Mark 12, 30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So if I want to be unified, first I have to learn what it is to love God with my entire being and to love my neighbor as I love myself. Uh-huh. Now, y'all, I promise you I'm not conceited, right? But I love me some me, okay? I might not be anybody's cup of tea, but I'm my own cup of tea. I'm fabulous, and I know that about myself because God made me that way. And because I view myself in that manner, I'm not going to talk down to myself. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not going to mistreat myself. I'm not going to do anything that's going to cause me lasting harm to myself. I'm not going to live in a way that's going to cause destruction. So what the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, and you love yourself unconditionally, and you will never say anything to hurt yourself. You ought never say anything that's going to hurt your neighbor. Right. If you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you're never going to operate in a way that's going to cause destruction for your neighbor. Right. Love unifies us. Peace is the word Irene. It is the binding or joining together that which has been separated or divided. It is a state of harmony. So if love is the binder or the unifier and peace is the harmonizer, why is there so much hell in God's church? Why is there so much division? Why do we take natural earthly things and allow them to cause us to be divided? Why don't we see the enemy when he comes in here lurking to cause division by your attitude or my attitude or your ways and my ways? Right. It's because we have not been on watch. And God is saying, I need you to not just watch what the enemy is doing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But I need you to watch what you're doing. Stop coming to me praying about what so-and-so said and how so-and-so acted and tell me how you acted. Tell me how you're going to respond. Submit yourself to me. You want to come throwing all that dirt? What about your dirt? God said we're supposed to be in a state of harmony. Harmony. Harmony is a joyful sound, isn't it? It brings so much peace. There's tranquility when there's harmony. You ever notice when a singer sing on one accord? Thank you, Holy Spirit. And there's just a sweetness in the sound. Well, don't you know when we live on one accord that there is a sweetness in the atmosphere? And some of us wonder why our atmosphere is so disruptive. It's because you disrupted. And you want to point the finger at everybody else. And I promise I'm talking to myself too. Because each and every one of us have moments where we are outside of God's will and we don't act as loving as we ought. Right. Amen. I'm almost through. It says, let rule. I'm going to tie this all together. Let rule is the word barbario, which is the word umpire. And it also means to award the prize to. By way of application, the whole phrase means to let the harmony of Jesus Christ be the umpire in our hearts amid the conflict of life as the divine umpire in helping us operate in what is right. That means you let Holy Spirit make the call on how you respond when you are going through different things with your brother and sister. It means you let Holy Spirit be the one who brings to your remembrance how you are supposed to operate as one. It says we are one body. We are one entity. Amen. And listen, what I love about the bottom of the text, it says we are to be thankful. And I said, God, exactly what are we thankful for? Because I know to be thankful for the cross, but you're not talking about that. I know to be thankful about my relationship with you, but I know you're not talking about that. When I kept praying, he said, you got to be thankful for one another. Not question somebody else's existence in your life because they operate in a manner that you don't like. Not question whether or not they're supposed to be connected to you because they ain't quite get to where you at. Hold up, boo. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus, you wouldn't be where you at either. So how dare you say, you not on my level. What level is that? Because the last time I checked, the Bible said Jesus died and there is no Jew or Gentile. There is no greater or lesser. There is no difference between you and me. So who am I to tell you, you ain't got no level. I'm not saying that to you, Pastor. I'm just saying. You ain't got no level. The only level you got is gratitude for who God is. If you believe God makes no mistakes, because we like to sing that, and we like to believe that, and we like to give God praise, God, we know you don't make no mistakes, then we also got to believe he didn't make a mistake in making us one family. And God sent me here today to help us understand we got to be thankful for one another. Right. We might not always agree, but we should agree to come back to God in prayer to help us be solidified in our thinking. It's not about your agenda or my agenda. It's about God's agenda and God's characteristics. So I don't care how long you've been that way. If it's outside of the fruit of the Spirit or the characteristics of God, you got to ask God, help me to let that go. And why is it important to be unified in spirit? Because God said we can't operate in disdain, pride, or arrogance against each other. He said to me, we can't offer up sincere worship if we are not operating in sincere love and peace. God said to me when I was praying, I need my church, universal and local, to stop singing to me when you ain't even speaking to each other. He said to me, I need y'all to be unified. I need you to understand what it is that you covenant one with another. You get up here with your Sunday finest on, with your black and white every first Sunday, and you stand and you take the bread and you drink the representation of the blood, and then you act like hellions when the benediction is given. God said, but did you pay attention to the covenant that you made? This covenant is a unification principle that we are supposed to walk in. It's not simply what we recite to hurry up and get through communion. It's what we agree to do in our treatment of one another. Again, how can you ask God to work through us if you won't let God unite us? When we recite this covenant, we have to be diligently willing to, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, comfort, to promote its prosperity, spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrine. Watch, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of this ministry, the expenses of this church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel. We also covenant to maintain family and secret devotion, unity, to release Seriously educate our children. Unity to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. Unity to walk circumspectly in the world. Unity to be just in our dealings. Unity, faithful in our engagements. Unity, exemplary in our deportment. Unity to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. Unity to abstain from the sale and use of intoxicating drink as a beverage. Unity and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. Unity, we further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love. Unity to remember each other in prayer. Unity to aid each other in sickness and distress. Unity to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy of speech. Unity to be slow to take offense. Unity, but always ready for reconciliation. Unity and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. Unity, we moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church. Unity, where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. Unity. Why? Because on Friday morning, they took my Savior up the hill, hey, all the way to Calvary. They nailed him to an old rugged cross. They pierced him in his side. He shed his blood to unify you and I. They laid there all night. Friday, he stayed there all day Saturday. But Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. The power to make me love you right. The power to walk with you. The power to fill you up. Hallelujah. Your best victory, your best defense.